This is just amazing. Wow, I am so glad I am here to see this. This is history. History indeed, right before my eyes. History that's happened, but not quite like this. Hi, folks. James Lilac's here at my accustomed place at one of the infinite number of diners in the incrementally different universes through which I happen to be traveling this year. It's a long story. You know the story. And you know that I'm sitting at the long boomerang pattern Formica counter. You may be wondering, is it black and coral boomerang? Is it turquoise? It's turquoise. And the diner is out on Old Highway 23, about 17 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. If you were in this parallel universe that I'm in, that's different in some ways from our own, you know, as I've been going from place to place to place, thanks to our mysterious phone booth there in the back, I know, it's a cliche, but it's how things happen to work out here. It's always fascinating to see what's different. And, coffee, please, black. Thank you. Is coffee black working? She doesn't work here. Okay, all right. It's interesting to see what's different. For example, there was this one IDU, and I didn't even talk to you from that place because it was just so boring, where the only difference, as far as I could tell, was that Captain Crunch was called Admiral Crunch. I went through the whole store looking for other different brand names, you know, Jif, peanut butter with a G or something, or Skippy, or, it's all the same except for Admiral Crunch. And you thought, did I misremember Captain Crunch? Maybe I'm wrong. I've been going to so many different IDUs. I could be misrecollecting it. Could be the Mengele effect at work here. But no, that was it. It was a IDU that in the 60s had an advertising industry that was unable to grasp the power of alliteration for naming children's cereals. So you had Admiral Crunch. That was it. I mean, I could have stayed there, but let's move along. I got to get home. So I go to this place. Wow. Holy crow. Here's the thing. Whenever I go to a place, I always go online, and so far they've all had the internet, which is great. Google, Giggle, Wikipedia, and I search for key events to see what happened. And it's generally the same progression of history, as though there's a certain inevitability that no matter what iteration you have, if you get to a certain point, certain events repeat themselves. And in this one, Germany did not lose World War I. Now, nobody won World War I. They just decided after 5 years that this was getting really old, and they were running out of everything, from people to meat to blood to steel, and they just gave up, decided to quit. Germany retreated to its original borders, and there were no punitive reparations. The United States also had a very, very minor role in this. And they also didn't attack Russia. So what happens is Germany maintains itself as a reasonably stable power, although it's smarting, and Russia maintains itself as a monarchy. Now, the interesting thing about this is that they still had Hitler in the 30s. They still managed to find a reason for a Hitler. Like, there was just something in the German culture that said, I don't care what the reasons are. We're in the mood for a Hitler. So they got a Hitler, and there was World War II, which did not last as long. Germany was not as strong, and they did attack Russia. And they managed to shatter the monarchy. But what came after the war was not Bolshevism, because there wasn't any Bolshevism to be had. It had died out a long time ago. What they had was a reasonably authoritarian, technocratic government that was Russian in character and went through all the motions of voting and the rest of it, but was not hostile to the West. Sort of kind of like what we have with the whole Putin thing, but, you know, not hostile to the West, not as suspicious and not as mean and not as Russianly. Russianly? Russianesque? Whatever the reason, there wasn't the great dynamic of the United States versus the USSR. So what happened, and this brings us to today, and the reason that I'm looking at this incredible drone footage on the big screen TVs that they have up here at the diner, is that we didn't go to the moon then. But we're going to the moon now. We're there. And it's beautiful. When I say we're there now, I mean our craft is on the moon now, and we're waiting for the astronaut to leave and put his boot on the moon. Why did it take this long? There was no impetus to go and have that big space race. There was development of rockets for satellites and technology and communications and weather and the rest of it. It happened a little later, but once it started going, it really got going fast. and it coincided with the explosion of the computer industry, so it got really good really fast. So now, the craft that we have, the spidery lem is, you know, with its tinfoil exterior and its little thin insect legs and its strange face, that's not what's there at all. What's landed is this beautiful, beautiful white oval creature, flares at the base, very much sort of like what we were thinking spaceships would be like in the 90s when we were looking forward. That's what they came up with. And there's a mothership up in orbit. It's got a crew of 10. It's substantial. And what's astonishing about this is because they're doing it now for the first time, the video quality is amazing. And when I say that, I'm looking at pictures and they're absolutely great. One of the first things they did when they landed was they just sent out a flock of drones, and the drones go out and fly around and take these swooping pictures, and it's just amazing. Apparently, of course, they had to go through some steps to land on the moon before, to get there, to test everything, to make sure it went well. And there was a nice big promotional effort where people would get to pilot drones around. They're gas-fired, in case you're curious. So there would be like VR things where the school would nominate somebody who would go to a national trial, and the kid who won got to put on the gloves and fly around the moon with a... I mean, it's really wonderful. And everybody's hopeful and excited about this. And I find that fascinating, and I'll tell you why. This, as far as I can tell in my brief stay here, is a culture that is absolutely obsessed with science fiction. They have their Star Trek and their Star Wars, but those are just a couple of entries in hundreds. I mean, the television shows that year after year are dominated by science fiction. And there's a great cultural fascination and yearning for getting out there, which is why this is such a thrill here today. I mean, it wasn't like in my place where we went there and then we got used to going there and it was standard to go there, and so everybody kind of lost interest in doing it again because what's on the television is far more interesting. The ships are faster, they're cooler, there's chicks, there's music, there's plots, there's enemies with ridged foreheads, there's a whole different world there. And the real, actual, boring fact of going out and doing things and landing and digging and breathing and not dying just seemed to be pedestrian. Okay, we ticked that box, now we can just fantasize. Well, they never got to tick that box. So the fantasies became much more particular and real. And there are just dozens of movies about just basic hard sci-fi exploration. So, and they're recent, and they're well done. So this is the real thing with great graphics, incredible video resolution, but it's real. And so the TVs are showing it. I'm looking around here. Everybody's looking down at their, you know, their phones and their devices and their tablets. Everybody's waiting for the guy to step out on the moon. Oh, yep, guy, that was, as far as I can understand, that was a bit of a controversy, but we'll get to that. So, well, yeah, before we do, it's going to be a while before he actually gets out. Oh, man. Oh. 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 One of the drones just did a flyby of the eagle that's on the surface of the moon. It's just beautiful. Like a Super Bowl shot just swooping around. And I want to stay here. I really do. All right, we got some time here, so let me check the jukebox and see what we got going on.
Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Come and take a trip in my rocket ship. We'll have a lovely afternoon. Kiss the world goodbye, and away we fly. Destination moon. Travel fast as light, till we're lost from sight.
Actually, if you're going at the speed of light, it would not take you an afternoon to get to the moon. You would get there much faster.
Destination moon. We'll go up, 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 up. Straight to the moon we two.
Okay, if you went up and up, you would not go straight to the moon. It would all depend on where you were blasting off from and where the position of the moon was. This is a highly inaccurate song. Okay, supersonic is not the same as speed of light. These are completely different measurements of speed. Thank you.
Destination moon.
It's like Jetsons credits.
Into the Milky Way, we'll wander while we watch the folks down yonder road. We're gonna have a lovely afternoon.
Jane, stop this crazy thing!
Up on the highest constellation, we'll look out across the nation, cause the Earth is like a tiny toy balloon.
Actually, from a constellation, you would not be able to see the Earth. You would barely be able to see the sun as a point of light. The constellations are a human construct and not an...
Go up, 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 straight to the moon we two. High in the starry blue, I'll be out of this world with you. So away we steal in a spacemobile, a supersonic honeymoon. Leave your cares below, pull the switch, let's go! 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Destination Moon!
Well, I'm sure that's an interesting song for people who don't know science, but if you do know science, it kind of ruins it. But on the other hand, I do have to commend them for doing some space-based pop music. There was a time in my place where there were many such songs full of the Kennedy-esque new frontier optimism. We were going out there, yes, we were, fly me to the moon, etc. That was before my time. All I got was Skylab's Falling. I think that was 1979, right? It was a song about, about Skylab falling. And it was disco, too, if I remember correctly. And that summed up everything about growing up in the 70s. When I was a little kid, we were going to the moon. We were going into outer space in spaceships. And now here I was, coming to the end of my teens. And all we had was a big Campbell's soup can up there that was tumbling out of control and was going to burn, hit somebody in the head to the sound of a hi-hat and a disco bass. I have strange musical memories of the Apollo space program. And this is probably not accurate. The more that I think about it, I'm really starting to doubt myself and what I recollect. But I know that I did not watch the first moon landing. I didn't. I was at camp. I loved camp. I'd committed to camp, and it fell on the moon landing date. I was heartbroken, being a big space nut kid. I had my Estes model rocket Saturn V booster that I'd shot off. Maybe not. I think maybe it just kind of went about 6 feet above the pad and fell over. Not exactly the most aerodynamic thing that I ever put together. I had all the popular science magazine stories about it. I loved it. I was deeply steeped in it. But then again, there was sort of the expectation that this is just the start. This is going to happen again. You'll get to see this over and over and over again until it becomes old hat, which it never will for me because I'm a space kid, but there I was at camp. And the memory that I've always had was that the counselors left us in our rooms to sleep and went and watched the moon landing. And now when I look at the time, I'm not sure it's correct. I think they just left us so the counselors could go and talk to the girls at the dining hall or something. And they put on a Simon and Garfunkel record. And it played over and over and over again. Back in the days when the needle would pick up and go to the start and then play it again. So we all laid there unable to sleep because it was Are You Going to Scarborough Fair? Which when you think about it is a stupid song. Isn't it Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme? What? Odd to ask somebody a question about their destination and then start tossing out herbs at random. And then isn't it something about how you should tell a true love of... She once was a true love... Just go to the damn fair yourself. Don't bother other people with your emotional errands. Anyway, so I never saw it. And saw it later. But... no. All right, let's go to B2.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
Actually, the moon is not in the stars.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and
Mars. Well, there is no spring in the sense that we understand. But if you look at xenometeorology, the terms really don't mean anything. It's describing a calendrical...
In other words, darling, darling, kiss me.
What's that?
Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore.
Sound does not travel in space.
You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Actually, it's a biochemical reaction in the brain designed to propagate the species. It has nothing to do with space travel. In the future, we will get past such emotional things and concentrate on the intellect. The intellect is truly what makes us separate from the animals. The animals don't know that there is a moon that we can go to. We do because we've been there. I have a big picture of the moon in my bedroom. It's on the ceiling. I memorized all the names, all the seas. They're not really seas, of course. The Latin term mare is just meant to indicate the outlines of bodies of water. They thought they were bodies of water once, but of course they were wrong. We knew that once we actually put spacecraft on the surface and used high-powered telescopy to see exactly what was going on the moon. We know a lot about the moon. And dogs don't. Dogs don't like me. I don't like dogs.
Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Yeah, I'm starting to think the moon might be a sexual metaphor in some instances. Okay. Well, check the time here. Getting a signal. Oh, okay. All right, it looks like we're getting close to the first man-filled boot on the surface of another planet. This is going to be so exciting. This one I'm not going to miss. I'm not going to miss this one. Missed it at camp, maybe, but not this one. So while we have a little time here, let's take a break, shall we, for a word from some of our sponsors.
As any scientist can tell you, traveling to an unknown planet is not that much of a problem anymore. The problem is getting around when you get up there. First off, since nobody likes to run out of gas or oil in strange places, you need a vehicle that won't use too much gas or oil. You need a vehicle that won't boil over on hot, unknown planets or freeze up on cold ones. And since surface conditions can run anywhere from green cheese to molasses, you need a vehicle with exceptional traction. All of which is why we, the crew of the V1500, chose the Volkswagen sedan.
This is it. This is pretty exciting, I gotta tell you. Everybody's thrilled. The mood in here is just electric. I have to set the scene for you. Unlike the moon landing in my time, where you just had these really grainy, just like a bad VHS. It really was disappointing when you think about it. Like 12 lines of resolution. Now we have three drones that are hovering around the lander. And beaming back just absolute crystalline, perfect video. It's just extraordinary. So we have a big shot of the whole area, and then we've got a couple of shots from the side, and one of them seems to be moving into position to the door. Okay, shh.
Up to that first step. It's that hasn't collapsed too far. but it's adequate to get back up.
Roger, we copy.
It's a pretty good little jump.
This is it.
I'm going to step off the limb now. That's one small step for mankind. One giant leap for man. Yeah!
Well, he's nervous. Close up on his feet, there's a Nike logo on his boot. When I think about it, there's quite a few logos on the lander. It's like a NASCAR. Anyway, oh, well, there he is. He's just bounding around now, and the drones are doing this sort of flyby thing that's just astonishing. Now they're cutting into the capsule to see what I presume would be their Buzz Aldrin. It doesn't look like Buzz. I don't know. Like the other guy, that's me. Shut up! Everybody's looking at me. What the hell? It can't be me. I'm gonna put a guy my age up in space. It's my son. I had a son, and he went into NASA, and he's on the ship, but he looks like me, and I look like an older version of him. And everybody's looking at me. I'm so proud. Yes. Oh, God. Googling on my phone here. Yeah, his father died. Yep, his father died when he was very young, and so I can't be his father. And now everyone is looking at me because they don't know why a 30-year-aged version of the man that they're seeing on the moon is sitting in the diner. And there are probably only two explanations they can come up with. One, there's some horrible time warp thing that's going to happen that they don't know about it yet. Or two, it was all fake or something, and that was my makeup, or whatever. I've really thrown a wrench into things here. I really have. I mean, I'm proud. God, I'm so proud. But I don't know how they're gonna explain this. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Okay. Hello. Something is going to happen. Something wonderful.
Excellent!
Do not be alarmed. I am going to step into that telephone booth, and I'm going to leave you. But you must know, something wonderful is going to happen. And all these worlds are yours. Even Europa. Seriously, do whatever you want with it. It doesn't matter. Use these worlds together. Use them in peace. And try the pie. It's very good today. Farewell. Hold on for a second here. All right, into the phone booth. Let's get out the coin here. Push the button, Max. Push the button. Okay, well, I feel a little bad about that, but, I'll give him something to talk about. And I've learned something else. If I'm dead in another incrementally different universe, apparently I can go there. Unless, of course, I can only go there unless there's still some descendant of me in the place. If there's no descendants, then I can't go. What is this, Coco? Or just I can go, in which case they are going to ask themselves why an aged version of the astronaut on the moon suddenly appeared in the diner to watch the first lunar mission. And why wasn't my boy chosen to be the first one out there, Should write a letter. I'd like to know how... Well, it's not like I can go back, can I? Or can I? You know, I've never really thought about revisiting an IDU. But I'd kind of like to go back and figure out exactly, well, not how I died, but what happened to my son. My son. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get out of the phone booth. I'm going to sit in here. I'm going to look at everything around me, and I'm going to try to come up with a way that might take me back to where I just was. Well, we'll figure out whether or not that worked next week, won't we? Thanks, friends, for joining me on this strange peregrination. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner, and I'll see you down the road.